A few months ago, I shared that one of the tactics of the enemy...
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another edition of Glorious Day. I am Pastor David.
And I'm Pastor Barry.
And we are so delighted to be here to ask the Lord to use us to bless you, to bring to you what you need to hear today. I just believe that, and Barry and I both do, although I shouldn't be putting words in your mouth.
That's okay. But, I trust you so far. Okay,
so far,
so
yeah.
So far.
But that we God is using us to raise up the saints and encourage and edify. That's basically it. And the third thing is to inspire those who do not believe to turn to Christ. Be willing to do that. Tonight, the theme or the title of this episode, I hadn't used that word in several
episode.
Or,
okay.
Program, I don't know why. Episode. I guess it is sort of episodic. But forgive me, folks. I tend to go back and forth like that. But the title is Winning Souls for Christ, Love versus Condemnation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And there's a scripture which I'm going to invite my brother Barry, who really loves to read the Word of God, and okay. to give him an opportunity to share this scripture with you.
Okay, the scripture today is Romans chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Oh, this is the word of the Lord.
And this is the word of the Lord. And just to give a little background, Paul is, one of the things he does in Romans is that he provides a contrast between Adam, the first man, if you will, and Jesus. And that we know in the fall, if we read Genesis, that Adam and Eve sinned. And so that's the beginning of the fall of man, falling away from God and God's promises. And they had to leave the garden and go out and till the soil and sweat and get bitten by mosquitoes and die, which none of that would have been.
That wasn't the original plan.
Was not the original plan, but it was plan. Well, it was actually God had to know, kind of. There's several views on this, but I'm going to say God knows everything. So it was at least a great possibility, if you will. But
we need not criticize Eve that much.
We will not. We will not, because the point is that they did sin, and so they had to leave. But that in God's perfect plan, he sends Jesus, who is the new Adam, as is mentioned by Paul. That's how he talks about him. And he reverses everything that the sin of Adam did against humanity, and opens again for us the kingdom of God.
What an absolutely beautiful plan.
You know, I love it. And it is God's plan, and it's incredibly wonderful and totally perfect. And so he's using the contrast here to talk about what sin leads to, which is condemnation. We are then condemned. And and this is the thing. Now, when we talk about and witness to those who do not know Jesus, that witness, and this is kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight, is encouraging you to bring into your sharing these two intertwined elements, okay? What are they? Well, one is love. We talked about that.
Right.
But it's intertwined with the issue of condemnation. So when we talk to someone that doesn't believe and doesn't know Jesus, it's important that we don't water down the gospel. We don't not talk about sin, because if you don't talk about sin, there's no need then for the gospel, because the gospel is all about the saving of our souls from the sin that we commit that condemns us before God.
If you're not preaching about sin and its consequences, you're doing nobody a favor.
Exactly.
What you're doing is you're offering a watered-down, lighter, like, you know, a light drink, a light food, a lighter Bible that does nobody any good. Our friend Ed, if you're listening, I'm quoting you, that a compromised gospel is a corrupted gospel.
Amen.
And I know that there are people out there who don't talk about sin nature and sin and this stuff because it doesn't fill up church pews, David.
No, it drives people to other churches where they're not doing that.
Amen. They do.
You know, and I have to say, my we have our peers who are pastors out there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to mention names because I don't know many of them. Actually, I know a few. But I do know that I'm talking now about the types, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, and I've been, Barry and I have both been in denominational, congregational settings I was a little longer, I was about 3 decades.
Yeah.
You were maybe a decade and a half. But the point is, we saw, as we moved around in the larger church,
mm-hmm.
and we saw some pastors that if you didn't know by personal experience they knew Jesus, you would wonder if they did, because their sermons were so empty, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
empty.
They didn't speak to anybody.
It was mm-hmm. all, I'm going to make you feel good today.
And you're going to get a new car.
Get a new car, right. And we're going to talk about prosperity and smiling all the time and that everything is supposed to be nice and Jesus is all sweetness and light,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they only provide half of the picture, because they're afraid. People today, not just pastors, but the average Christian is afraid of using the word sin. Now, it can be overused, I admit. You know, it can also be a bludgeon that some people use to pound on people.
Of course, you know, sometimes parents will do this. I know in old school, when I was growing up, my mother used this because I was kneeling at the rail of a church asking for forgiveness, and I was willing to repent. I had played football in the house and broke both of my mother's new lamps.
Oh, no.
And God was understanding. I knew that he was okay with, you know, me. But then I felt my mother's fingernails on my shoulder and my neck. She was behind me saying, "Don't even bother. God's mad at you right now."
Whoa.
Yeah. And that gave me a flawed vision of who God is. But you know, just that story is, you know, people are quick to pull the trigger on condemnation, David.
Yes.
You are condemned. And where does that come from? Good old Satan. You are condemned. Yeah. How dare you think you could get on your knees and pray to God? Look what you did. How dare you? You know better than that, but he doesn't want to hear from you right now, right?
And if someone leads off in a witnessing opportunity with condemnation,
mm-hmm.
and that's your lead, mm-hmm. and you're going to build on that first, then, I mean, if the Spirit, okay, let me say this. If the Spirit of God guides you to do it, you need to do what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, what I have found is that because the gospel is a story, is that wonderful, powerful, unique story of how God sends his Son, because he loves us
mm-hmm.
more than we'll ever know, to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin, that the bringing of the gospel to someone that does not believe should be one where we talk about how much God loves us, but because of our sin. So we don't forget to talk about sin.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of it being a bludgeon that we use first to hit people over the head, we, in the sense, tell our story of how we met the living God in the midst of our horrible sin, who took us and blessed us and loved us.
Powerful, David.
Powerful. That's what gets people's attention. Listen, I got a story. Back many years ago, you remember the 1980s, Barry?
A little bit better than the 70s.
Better than the 70s, yeah, me too. But in the mid 1980s until the mid 1990s, for about 10 years, I was a college chaplain in Gainesville, Florida. And my ministry realm was pretty much the whole university. You know, we had a church building on University Avenue. Bunch of students came. You know, we had a lot of outreach onto the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began soon after I got there, and I can't remember, I think this was in the, summer terms, it was the fall term, may have been the early winter term, but anyway, it was before Christmas. So the kids were coming in, and they'd come in when they were between classes and study at the church buildings and offices there. And they said, one of them said, Pastor David, he said, you know, Brother Jed's in town. And I said, oh, who's that? You know? He said, oh, you got to come and see him. There's a place, a big square in the middle of near the libraries there, where it's kind of an open place. Anyone can come and talk about whatever's on their mind, and preach, teach, whatever.
Sure.
And so this is where this Brother Jed fellow would come. And so I was curious, you know. I went there, and I stood around. There was a gathering crowd of students on their way to class. There's Brother Jed. He's in a nice suit. And when I first saw him, I said, well, you know, that's a nice outfit, you know.
Yeah.
But whatever I was impressed by his suit, quickly that being impressed kind of dissipated, because he immediately started with a sermon of condemnation.
Mm.
You know, and he was looking at all these kids. Now, Brother Jed probably was in his late 30s, early 40s. But he was immediately started talking about their sins going to take them to hell. Well, you know, unforgiven sin. If you're a sinner and you're not in Jesus,
you have
one destination. We all know that. The Bible tells us that. But he had no audience, really. They came to mock him. And I was watching, and I'm sad for this guy. I'm sad for the kids, because if he had spoken, if he had a witness, and I hope that he had a witness where he came to Christ because Jesus loved him into salvation, and he was recognized that, yes, his sin was his sin life was taken into Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that he was blessed by God in that relationship, and that he knew Jesus died for his sin.
Right.
And that he was forgiven because of what Jesus did. That he was the atoning work on the cross acquitted him of the death penalty. Right?
Right.
I would have loved to hear that. I think it would have challenged, and some of those kids would have stopped and even missed class to talk to him, because they were in the same boat. But he started with condemnation. His middle was condemnation. His end was condemnation. And they ended up just mocking him.
He missed the opportunity.
He missed.
They were there.
Sad for the kids. You know, I felt like, in a way, you know, when Jesus stood outside the walls of Jerusalem and wept because of how the leaders were, you know, not bringing God to the people. We're not preaching the what we'd call the gospel today.
Right.
And they were so misled. And I was within my heart, I wept. I've wept for Brother Jed, but I also wept for the students.
Yes, because I think what was missed in the whole effort that he, or lack of effort that he made, was the Great White Throne Judgment.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he was alluding to that. But because we have Christ, what people need to know is you share Christ.
Yeah.
You're going to be picking people out of that line.
Yeah.
One after the other, to the other. That's the opportunity that he blew.
Yeah.
Is he could have pulled so many people that were heading to that line, great and small.
Yeah.
He didn't.
He didn't. And, you know, it's kind of sad. That was the agenda of the folks who funded him.
Mm.
And he was sticking to that agenda. My hope was, and I prayed for those kids all the time, but that they would find someone that could really minister Jesus to them and his love for them.
I'm sure God has a bigger plan and more people to follow Reverend Jed, or whatever his name was, but you know, there's other people that will have that moment. You know, we can't have that kind of ego thinking that we're the only ones that have been called to preach to those people. I got a story too, David.
Oh, I'd love to hear it, Barry.
I can shorten it for the as a respect for our time. Several years back, I was volunteering at a homeless shelter. And this particular homeless shelter was doing a good job caring for homeless men and women and children, and they would feed them. They would show up for a meal. Mm. And there were rumblings that there was one of the volunteer ministers or pastors, whatever you want to call them, who was verbally and emotionally abusing the homeless.
Mm.
And they just didn't know what to do. And
yeah.
They called me in because... I don't know if you noticed it, David. I'm a little outside the box, a little strange. And
yeah.
They said, we need you to dress as a homeless person and go in and see what's being said. So with the help of my wife, who helped tatter my shirts, she really enjoyed ripping my T-shirts and dirtying up my sneakers. I had my lawn-cutting sneakers on, and I didn't shower for a few days, David. And, I looked pretty schmutzy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went over and sat down the sidewalk with the other guys, and sure enough, a car pulled up, and a preacher came in and unlocked the door and then locked it. And we had to wait out in the sun, and we watched him eat our spaghetti and meatballs.
I was actually kind of hungry.
Well, he ate a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he unlocked the door, and the rest of the guys and I got our meal and sat down. And what I heard for the next 20 minutes reminded me of who you just described, where they were all being condemned for all the bad decisions they made in their life.
Right.
And that they're all going to hell for what they've done, between the drugs and the booze and all the crimes that they committed and things like that. And after 20 minutes, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut anymore, David. So I simply looked up and I said, you know, the Gospel of John describes God as love, and I haven't heard the word love yet today.
Hmm.
And the room got quiet. A few of the fellows said, yeah, where's the love, you know?
Right.
And this particular guy looked at me and he said, well, who are you? And a little toothless man with a fly around his head next to me said, that's Pastor Barry. And he said, what are you checking up on me? And it wasn't a particularly fun scene. I had to take him aside. And as Christians, we should talk to each other.
We should, yes.
And call each other out when we've gone way off the path. The long and short of it is he didn't come back. And I pray for him, too, that he found his way back to his true calling.
Right.
And whatever angst and anger that he has in his heart would be removed and replaced with love.
Yes.
And compassion. That's the, you know, we hear the expression, oh, the church sometimes shoots their wounded.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've all seen that.
We have. I have seen it.
And you don't want to give people an excuse of not going to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And people will find excuses, and you don't want to be one of them.
Well, and especially true with most people. I'm going to step out, stretch my neck out a little bit and say most people understand that they need something greater than their own mind, their own abilities to have any quality of life, to have anything of real. And also, I believe that God puts hope in every heart that he makes.
Mm, yes.
And before we know Jesus, we have this hope. And that so that when we are in our worst possible situation, when God then, you know, brings someone to share the gospel with us, that their story will ignite that hope, because that's the thing that's lacking in the life of someone that has already lived under a heavy condemnation. And this is the people, friends, that we're being sent to today.
That's
and
right.
Have always been sent to. Is people under some kind of condemnation. And if we don't give them the love of God even first, not to forget again that we have to recognize that they need to be aware that their sin is killing them,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that Jesus has a plan to rescue them and bring them into the kingdom if they'll only ask him into their lives. But if all they hear is more of the condemnation they've already had heaped on themselves, by themselves, and by the world, they're going to turn off. If there's never any hope mentioned by that person who's being sent to them at that time, whether they be ordained as a pastor or just
a regular Joe.
Regular Joe, right, that has met Jesus and wants to share that. Yeah, you know, I often think, it's really going to be what is the value system of your denomination, your Christian body, in terms of sharing the gospel.
Mm.
What is that? Because that's being taught to you. If what's being taught to you is empty of love and full of condemnation, I'm just going to ask you to get on your knees and ask God, you know, just ask God for guidance on that point. Because I don't believe there's any value in that.
There's no value, and it also deters them. We're trying to bring a message of forgiveness.
Yes.
And how are they going to even forgive themselves if they're being condemned over and over and over again? They know they've done wrong.
Yes.
That's not the point. Now let's fix this.
Yeah.
I had a preacher once tell me when I went to him, you know, for counseling, and I liked his approach. He was like a mechanic with your car. He said, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work here.
Yeah.
We'll work backwards from the sin. Interesting. We're going to work backwards from the sin.
Wow.
How did you get to this point in the first place? And he had me examine the state of my prayer life.
Yes.
The state of my study of Scripture. My relationship. Was it in my head or my heart with Christ? And it's funny. He really didn't focus on the sin. He backtracked from it. Just to see how we got there. We were in this together, you know.
Yeah,
we're going to go through this journey together. And I learned a lot from him because he never once talked about condemnation once he knew that I was a Christian.
Yeah.
That was off the table. With him, he was just talking about the fact that, number one, I just need to ask for forgiveness. Number two, repentance, obviously.
Yes.
And surrender is right in that mixture, too.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And forgiveness, self-forgiveness. Who am I to continue to condemn myself when Jesus died on the cross for me?
Absolutely. Right? That's just a powerful, truthful statement.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, and this I really don't know, is I don't know how many churches out there teach it that way.
Well, I encourage people, if they're not going to a church that's feeding them, being spiritually fed, to get in your car and find another one. And keep going until you find one where Christ is talking to you through that preacher.
Maybe before you get in your car, get on your knees somewhere and ask God to lead you.
But get out of that church.
Now, some people will say, how can you say that on the air? You know, well, because if there are churches out there that look good and, you know, they have all the trappings and speak Christianese really good, you know, but where is the Spirit of God in that? Where is the gospel? If there's no gospel, if there's no passion and zeal for serving Christ, if it's all let's take care of ourselves and protect ourselves,
right,
and not really do anything so we don't get in trouble, that is not a God-honoring church. I'm telling you right now. And so,
goes back to the apostles and the apostolic church. They weren't afraid to speak the truth.
No.
They didn't hedge their bets. You know, they just went out with, they were all in, and they told the whole story.
What is it that Paul writes in Ephesians 5, I think 5:14, and it's a discipleship training. He says, speaking the truth in love.
Amen. That's
and he's
right.
giving them that context as to this is how we bring people to Christ. This is how we build the strength of disciples. This, is, in fact, is how we build the body of Christ, speaking the truth in love.
And
really, that verse is just underscores what we've been talking about for the last 23 minutes and 18 seconds.
Not that we're watching.
but yes, this is it. With churches, folks, get it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it. You know, get it. I don't know how to say it. I'm just really kind of frustrated.
You should
at this
see
point.
His face. I think his eyeballs are going to fly out.
Well, because I mean, God is moving and He's pulling people their heads out of where their heads have been to where they need to be and focused on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Times are changing. Paradigm of church is changing. The church, by the way, as we've said before, is not the building that you worship in. It's the people in the building.
That's right.
The church. You are the church. And you got to get out there.
If you're going to preach in the Walmart parking lot, they're listening and they're receiving Christ, that's church.
Because you're being the church right then.
Right
Jesus
then.
Said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
That's right.
That was his definition of church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't say wherever 10,000 bricks and a couple of window frames are and a couple of doors, there I am. No, it's you. And it's you and everybody else that God calls and pulls together.
That's right.
And this is what we're trying to get, help people to understand. This is the truth.
You need to know if you have a hunger for God, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a hunger for church.
Right.
You want to know Jesus first and foremost.
Amen.
Now, we're not saying corporate worship is off the table. I think that's very important.
It's critical.
Keeping you on the right track with mature Christians. But my dear friends, if you're discipling, if you're evangelizing, they probably don't want to hear about your coffee hour at your church if their heart is hurting. They want to know Jesus and that he can heal them.
And most of those folks that need to hear Jesus aren't going to come to church anyway. They've been thrown out of so many that you're going to have to go to them. God's sending his people to them. Like Barry was talking about this ministry with the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to them.
That's right.
You know, people out, I'm going to say very quickly, I had a chance to witness to, in my doctor's office, to the PA who was doing my checkup.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, he's in the church, but he just needed a little guidance, and I was glad to do it, but it was gospel time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't plan on it, but that's where it was. It was right there. And
well, God it wasn't your dentist, because they wouldn't have understood word
exactly
you said.
Right,
you
know? But it would have given me something to sink my teeth into, Barry. Oh, that's bad. Listen, folks, our time is up. Barry, do you want a quick prayer? Offer a quick prayer.
Holy Father, Father God, Abba, we are so grateful to you for all the blessings in our life, and we're grateful for the opportunity to share this gospel. Lord, we ask for a continued blessing upon each and every person who is called upon to bring this message of peace, this message of hope, and this message of salvation given to us by such a loving Father through his obedient Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to strengthen us. Make us aware of every word that we say that is not our word, but your words that are important. Let us help heal hearts with your love. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. Barry, thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you, David. Good to see you again.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Lord, I long to seek your face. Come into this holy place to worship, you. Lord, I long to seek your face. I come into this holy place to worship. Worship you, a place where your glory surrounds me, and I become brand new. A place where your presence brings reverence. I desire to be with you. Everybody say, Lord, I your face. I've come into